Chris Fagan joins us, Brisbane Lions coach. Chris, welcome to the program. Great to have you back on.
Thank you, Dwayne. Yes, good to be back on.
You took Jared out for dinner, I hear.
Out for dinner? Yeah, Jared was up there for 2 days, wasn't he?
Six of them up there for a week.
He spent some time up here with us, which was great to have him along. And a lot of our players got to know him, and he shared some of his experiences and wisdom, particularly with our leadership group, which was really worthwhile. So I was really pleased he was able to come up.
I'm glad I didn't take training, though, Chris, because the following 2 days later, you got a nice rude awakening by the Gold Coast Suns. That must have put a bit of a slow on everybody's enthusiasm. And I've got to say, it was a really enthusiastic group that I met when I turned up.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was a practice game and we were trying a few things, and we had a back line that had an average age of 20 and nine games between them. So we're a little bit undermanned on the weekend, but those guys had a fantastic experience. I think four of them played their first game in a sort of AFL environment, and they learned a hell of a lot from it. And that was the good discussion that we had after the game. I thought that we got better as the game went along. The second half of the game, I think we actually won. So from our perspective, it was very much a learning experience and trying a few things out. And the result was somewhat irrelevant, even though I know it's of interest to other people. From myself and our coaching group, it was more about learning more about our playing group under pressure.
Chris, a promising year last year, some fabulous performances, far too many narrow losses, but they were very narrow losses. Surely the honeymoon for you will be over this year if you don't challenge for the top eight.
Yeah, I think we've got a challenge. Whether we can get there this year or not, it's a different thing, but we certainly need to be getting somewhere near that mark. That's something that I and my fellow coaches and the playing group are really aiming for. In a sense, but to do that, really, it's all about improvement, and that's been the thing that I've always talked about since I've arrived, is we've just got to try and get better each year. It's a bit, you need to win about 13 games to make finals. We've won five the last two seasons, and yes, you're right, we went close on another five or six occasions last year, but we need to get somewhere near that 13, somewhere closer, I think, for a year to be successful.
And you say Jared spoke to your leadership group. A very different situation from this time last year, where you went into 2018 with Dane Beams as your captain. Obviously had a lot of issues. Those issues have been well documented. In the end, after a lot of changing his mind, he left the club. You have a new captain. Have the dynamics of the leadership group improved in your mind going into this year, now that it's more settled?
Yeah, probably it has. I mean, it was a really difficult year for Dane Beams last year, and I think it's pretty well documented how that went down. So good for Beamsy that he's got a fresh start, and good for our group that, you know, we've been able to come up with a different leadership group. Obviously, Dane Zorko has worked really hard and has the respect of the group. He's our captain, and Harris Andrews is a real rising star in the competition, and a great young man as our vice-captain. And we've added Lachie Neal and Darcy Gardner and Jared Berry to the group. And it's a reasonably large group, and some people sort of say, oh, it's a bit too big at seven, but we're always planning for the future, and we've got a few young guys in there so that they can, you know, come forward and be our leaders in 3 or 4 years' time. So that's the policy that we've taken, and we're really happy with our group, and we think they can lead the club really well.
And Chris, we've just been talking about Jack Stephen, who's taking some time out of football to deal with some personal issues. How do clubs, obviously every club fully respects this issue now, and every club has to deal with it. But as a tough AFL environment where winning is really the benchmark and making finals, how do you think clubs and the AFL can get better at handling this problem? Because you yourself have lost players over the journey for periods of time.
Yeah, look, I think we are doing a lot of things already. You know, for instance, our players will come in to the club each day, and they check in on a computer and rate themselves on their mood and their sleep and all sorts of things. So we know really quickly when there's a red flag, and our players are very good at filling it in honestly. Just 2 weeks ago, we had 2 4-hour sessions educating all of our staff on mental health issues and what to look out for and all that sort of stuff. So really, it's really about education and respecting the fact that it is a genuine illness and that people can get over it and that they can function in an AFL environment even though they experience difficulties at times. So that's how we've approached it, and we just need to continue to keep educating and understanding and helping players who suffer these types of conditions to get through them.
And I believe
I think creating a positive environment too, where people feel like they're improving and they're enjoying themselves, really helps as well. So clubs have got to get better at that.
And I believe you were working at Hawthorn at the time that the last and only footballer to get to three strikes, Travis Tuck, had his issues. Do you have a view about the current drugs code, and do you think the AFL should review it?
Well, I heard you discussing it before, and to be honest with you, I haven't given it a great deal of thought. But I'm sort of in agreement we don't want it to be too lenient. We also don't want it to be too hard. The answer is somewhere, I think, in between. I mean, it's a difficult one because you want your players to be elite and to live a healthy lifestyle and to not get caught up in all those things. But they are young men after all. And they will make mistakes. So continue to educate, but not be too lenient, I think, is the way to go.
Because if you have a player that's been drinking too much because he gets dobbed in by the players and the players and you sanction him, but if you've got a player who's on drugs you don't know and his partying is kept secret from you.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that's always been the case, and it probably will continue to be the case. As I say, there are things that you look out for. And it's funny, when you're inside a club, you often work out who those players are that are vulnerable in that area, and you do work hard to help them.
I've got a feeling that this is never going to be resolved unless the players resolve it. I think we can do all the education you like and talk down to them as elder people to youngsters. Mm. But unless you've got guys like Nick Riewoldt, who's close to it, leading as the captain of the club and discussing it as the captain of the club and demanding sort of a greater adherence from younger players. And I think it's probably going to continue growing as an issue.
It may well do it, but you're right. It depends on the culture of your club, and your leaders are very, very powerful influences in this space. And, you know, if they don't accept those standards, and you know what it's like, Jared and Dwayne, when you play, everyone knows within a playing group what's going on. And, you know, if your leadership group is strong enough to step in and pull those guys into line and tell them it's not acceptable and even, you know, get to the point where they may even come and say to the coaching group, well, we think you need to give that player a bit of a spell because he's not doing the right thing, then that's where we need to get to. That's really powerful when the players can operate in that manner. Haven't seen it in too many places yet, but maybe we might get there.
Chris, wonderful news in recent times with the money from the government and your new facility. Obviously, some great new recruits to the club. But the AFL hasn't done you a huge favour with the fixture, have they?
What do you mean, Caroline?
Well, you've got a relatively tough fixture, wouldn't you say?
Well, when you're like us and you've won 5 games 2 years in a row, every game's a tough game. Hmm. So I must admit, it's funny with fixtures. I don't look too closely at them. I mean, I know what our first 3 games are, and that's really all we concern ourselves with at this point in time. And each time we go out to play, we try to win. Yes, we're playing the Premiers in round 1, but we're playing up here in Brisbane. And if we want to be any good, we've got to be able to beat the better teams. So sort of don't look at it that way. And sometimes with fixtures, you think you've got an easier fixture and teams suddenly improve, and that easy fixture is some quickly becomes a hard fixture, and it can work the other way as well. So probably don't spend too much time thinking about it or worrying about it, to be honest.
Great to have you on, Chris.
Well said, Chris.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Enjoy your work. And,
no, I actually mean it. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you the Homer Simpson or the Motty Burns of Springfield up there?
I'm not actually sure what you're talking about there, Dwayne.
That makes all of us.
You have to look at your own website. Haven't you seen the new spiel with your players in Springfield being different Simpsons characters?
Well, I'll have to have a look.
Check out your own website.
I'll sort of bury my head in my work.
Okay. Get with it, Coach.
Chris Fagan, Brisbane Lions coach, joining us, trying to answer some reasonably good questions and some bad ones as well. Caroline Wilson here for